If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings on the divine love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command in Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward, which means and have the intention that you're bringing yourself from your higher levels of awareness down into and integrating with your physical mind and personality. Take another deep breath and hold that intention as you breathe the energy all the way through your body. Deep breath. So let's do our heart coherency exercise that I shared quite a few seminars back, but I think we could use a refresher here. So place your hand or your hands upon your heart, which allows your consciousness to focus there. And just be aware of your breath and your heart. And now think of someone or something that you love deeply. And just express your gratitude in your thoughts. And if you're alone, you might want to do it out loud. And you might want to ask for this evening's seminar to have the agreement and coherency established between your mind and your heart so they can unify and coordinate as one. And set your intention this evening to receive whatever would be for your highest good, asking that whatever no longer serves your highest good, that it be lifted and dispersed back into the nothingness from which it came. And that opening that you have now made room for be filled with the light and the love of the highest divine rate of energy that you can possibly integrate at this time. And take a deep breath and allow that integration to occur. Breath is so important because that is literally God's life that was breathed into you that made you a living, conscious soul. So anytime you want to access new energy, you access most easily and simply by taking a deep breath and matching it with the intention that you would like to integrate. This evening, our seminar topic is accessing new paradigm technology. And the technology of the new paradigm is the technology of living love and light. We are here as embodiments of divine love. That is our purpose. That is our function, and that is our divine mission on earth. We are here only to love We're here to be dispensers of this love and to bestow its radiance wherever we find ourselves, whether we're standing in line at the post office or at Walmart or wherever we are, whatever we're doing. We're sitting in our cubicle at work. If we're on the freeway, in our commute, we are always sending a radiance, a circumference of ever-expanding rings of light and influence. We're like the dropping of a divine pebble in the sea or the lake of consciousness that keeps sending its ripples outward throughout the cosmos. And every conscious intention towards goodness, towards light, towards loving, sends blast waves of tremendous magnitude that ripple out from our life stream. Yeah, when you're sitting behind that wheel on the freeway in a commute, and boy, do we spend hours of our day doing that here in Los Angeles. In fact, we factor our days in terms of the hours of the commute to and from wherever it is we have to go. We always have to add in an extra 1, 2, 3 hours for anything we want to do. It's just a way of life here. So many of you have that also in your various cities. So we are the new paradigm. We walk out into individual lives. We are the new paradigm people. We are the new insertions of living love and grace into this time-space continuum. But to make this dimensional shift requires our demanding a great deal more of ourselves so that we can keep rising to the next higher level of vibratory frequency and consciousness. And serving the highest good of all is the highest expression of the human being. I won't say the superhuman being, but the human being. Selfless service is the highest expression. When you're here and consciously have an intention to serve the highest good of all. What's beyond that? Oh, it's a level in which the server, service, and those to be served merge into one. And there is just the beingness, the beingness of love. But in that progression, our first step is to learn how to serve without agenda personally. How to give, even if it looks like to the lower self, we're losing in the process, which of course is impossible at a higher level. But the ego modality is only to give where there's a payback, a vested interest that's being served. So the new paradigm technology is one of self-giving without reference to what you're going to get out of it. Your, let's say, payoff comes in the invisible levels that are not readily apparent in the world as it is today. So we're entering a new cycle. Of course, everyone knows that. And every new cycle is preceded by the entrance of a new quality of energy, which you might say sets the harmonic resonant keynote for that time. Now, this new quality of energy also produces a new perception of reality to occur. A new perception arises as that new era. And it's birthed out of initially a tremendous conflict of the old ways and momentums and the incoming new energies. And that's how a new world view ultimately emerges. So at the onset of any new cycle, there will bound to be conflict between the old established momentums and the introduction of these new momentums. And this can, you know, clearly be witnessed in almost every endeavor, arena of human endeavor in the world today. So the clashes are actually catalytic if you see them in, well, if you take an Aikido approach to the obstacles that you see coming to you. The Aikido master always uses the incoming energy to establish a momentum in the direction in which the master wishes to go, through his intention. In other words, you use everything for the highest advancement and highest good of all. The way that we phrase it in our modern day is, if somebody gives you lemons, make lemonade. But you catch our drift here. Use everything as a stepping stone to higher consciousness, as a way to master the self. That way, conflict and opposition comes in as a blessing instead of a burden, instead of a block. It becomes that which catalyzes and enhances and impels you in the direction of your higher intention. You don't let it bog you down. So, today, we are aware that we're in the process of undergoing a major shift of global proportions and impact. There's not a person on the planet that isn't experiencing this in some way. So in this seminar, we want to focus upon the characteristics of this new paradigm and how it differs from the old, and also how to access and apply the new technology. So to do this, we need to understand the fundamental difference between this old Piscean age and the incoming Aquarian age energies, as it's been termed, or if you prefer, the old 3D worldview and the new Earth worldview. So how attuned are you to the new paradigm technology, which is the technology of spirit and of heart coherency? In fact, it is spiritual coherency, expressing in your daily life and personal relationships. So again, it differs from the old paradigm in the sense that in the old paradigm, it tended to stay in the realm of idealism and philosophy, which was nice on a Sunday afternoon with a cup of tea, but it didn't really get down into the nervous system and the mind and the decision-making and the acting out into the daily arena and workplace and marriage and family and so forth and so on. So do you make an effort to be aware and to foresee how your personal choices of expression might impact others? You know, they say the mark of a person of wisdom is to foresee the consequences before they act. This is really exercising spiritual inner awareness, because very few of us give that any consideration whatsoever. And yet it's part of our spiritual exercise now in becoming more consciously soul integrated and functioning from soul awareness. So do you ever consider your life as a message or as a visual display of who you are and what you believe to the world at large? You know, in order to be the change that we wish to see in the world, we have to ask ourselves periodically, what do I need to upgrade in my life to bring it more in alignment with the world that I would really like to live in, this new earth, this new golden age? How can I upgrade so that I'm living in that new earth paradigm, in that golden age right now, so that I'm not waiting for some outer agency to come and magically lift me or ascend me or rapture me or whatever into that higher state? What am I doing to move in and occupy it today in my life? Now, when you're confronted with a major decision, do you ever first stop and take a deep breath and silently ask for higher wisdom to guide you? I bet a lot of times you do, but I bet maybe even more times you don't. And remember how we mentioned last week how important the initial intention is in terms of what is going to manifest? Well, if you take that moment to ask exactly for what you want in any given situation, and to ask for higher wisdom to guide you before you make decisions, that's setting your intention in alignment with the highest good. That's one of those simple game changers that we can always choose to exercise. You might have to make 3x5 cards and post them in your environment for a while to keep reminding you that you can choose. You can set your intention before you go into that office meeting, before you stand up to give your talk, before you send that email or write that email, before you post whatever it is that you're going to post on your websites or in your blog. You can set your intention to serve the highest good, to serve the new paradigm of living love, to be that living love. Does that expression line up with that? And if it doesn't, there's where you need to insert an upgrade. Again, when you're upset, before reacting emotionally, do you ever remember to stop and ask, what would love do now? Have you ever done that? What would love do now? I've done that a few times. It's amazing how the whole energy shifts. Presto, change-o. And all you had to do was, in your mind, ask, what would love do now? Sometimes love is just silent. Sometimes love is not reacting. Sometimes love looks like taking a deep breath and simply saying, I understand, I hear you. That doesn't mean you agree. That doesn't mean you're giving over your power. You're simply not choosing to enter into opposition. I understand. I hear you. Often, that is what love would do. So the new paradigm is about acting from the position of making the most loving, expansive, accommodating, freeing, and allowing choices at any given moment. If knowing the truth and living in the truth will set you free, then that is a way that you can do it, very simply. You simply prioritize being that loving response, rather than that oppositional position. So these are very simple game changers, very simple paradigm shifters. They're so simple that sometimes people think, ah, well, there's no meditation, there's no Merkaba activation, there's no this, there's no that. Beloved, you don't need any of that if you act from the technology of heart. You do not need all of the metaphysical gymnastics if you can just learn to live true to your heart. Now, I'm not talking about the emotional heart. That's like the ego mind. It changes like a weather vane. I'm talking about that inner conscience that really jerks your reins when you step out of your loving. Don't tell me you haven't noticed that. That's that little thing that makes you feel, ugh, that feels yucky. Gosh, I feel guilty about that. That was because you acted in agreement with your ego, with your false self, rather than with the living love that you are. It's really important to realize that every judgment blocks the light. Whether that judgment is exercised in yourself towards your own behavior, or that of another, or something that's in the world, all judgment blocks the light. Now, anything seen from soul awareness is lovable. That's how you can tell when you're in ego, is that the ego is always critical and judgmental, always blaming and finding fault. And soul awareness is always seeing the lovable and praiseworthy. That's how you can tell the difference. So do you want to be critical, judgmental, and give homage to the old paradigm of ego and separation and fear, domination and control? That sounds like a worker of darkness to me. A light worker is going to choose in alignment with the loving. So notice, if you will, also, that every problem in your personal life can be traced to an area of unforgiveness, which is really a form of sustaining your judgment. Now, it doesn't matter whether the unforgiveness is of yourself or another or something. There's only one self. So whatever you judge, it's a judgment against the beloved, which is you, which is another, and which is whatever it is that your unforgiveness is targeting. So ask yourself, who or what have I judged? Show me, where have I harbored judgment, grievance, unforgiveness? And it will arise within your mind's eye immediately. You'll begin to see pictures and faces and situations come forward. Now, all you need to do at that point is realize you don't want that, because that's blocking the light of the world that you are. You don't want that, bottom line. So out of a desire to be free and to be forgiven yourself and released, with an act of will, you say, I forgive, and then you start saying whatever it is that you were shown. I forgive myself for whatever. I forgive you for whatever. I forgive this for whatever. And you do it out of an act of will. You don't do it out of a wanting to do it or feeling like you should do it or any of that. You got to exercise will, because your lower self is going to want to hold on to the grievance, because that's how it sustains its viability. So you do it out of an act of will, willpower, and through faith. And then you let it go. You let it go. If it comes to your mind again, you feel angry again, do it again. Do it until you take the charge off of it. Because as long as you hold this grievance, you will not experience a breakthrough into greater consciousness. And all you have to do really is to be willing to see differently. Just be willing to acknowledge that you're not experiencing peace because you're harboring this judgment, this grievance, and you're willing to be shown a different way of seeing it. I often ask Jesus to give me his way of seeing. Let me see through your eyes, Lord. You can always do that. Ask to see through the eyes of the Master. And be willing to let it go. Because you want to be free. And because you want the peace of God. So that's why you ask to see that situation differently. Presto change up. You will. So the old paradigm was all about looking to outer forms to provide protection, security, authority, governance, and leadership. And also to point the cause of whatever was wrong to some outer person, condition, thing, but never assuming any kind of personal responsibility toward that. The old paradigm made a very definite separation between the human being, God, and the world of effects. In fact, they didn't even see the world as a world of effects. They saw the world as a separate entity. So the old paradigm was about also dominating nature, harnessing the power of the material world and the elements of nature, and primarily with the intent to dominate, control, and to acquire some form of personal gain and betterment at the expense of the environment. You know, we wanted to build houses and make money with selling, timber and stuff, so we cut down all the old growth forests. Without thinking how that was going to affect the weather and the oxygen in the air and the viability of many, many of the ecosystems and animals that flourished and had to flourish in the forests and jungles. That's where, you know, the ignorance of acting without foreseeing the effects was quite evident to all of us on the planet. Or this new thing of fracking. What do they call it? Fracking. Where you drill into the bedrock to extract natural gas, and then they wonder why there's an increase in earthquakes. Hello? Does that take a rocket scientist to draw the effects here? You know, sometimes we're just not very bright. And we're not very bright because we're not exercising awareness and foresight. We're not gauging that everything we say, think, and do and implement and support in some way has an effect on the world. So the old paradigm was all about looking to outer forms. And it was mechanistic. The whole old paradigm was mechanistic and materialistic. And it was one in which the regarding of oneself was primarily as a body, a physical body, living in a material world, where power meant amassing material things, money, property, personal power and recognition. That's all old paradigm stuff. People primarily joined with other people only when the overall endeavor promised to deliver a personal benefit of some type, such as money, promotion, personal gain. In fact, in the ancient times, even marriages were arranged to position oneself in and within greater alliances of wealth, power, and prestige. So the old paradigm was all about separative ego aggrandizement. Yeah. In ancient times, the wise ones were not very many to be found, definitely not in the outer world. They were mostly monks and renunciants and rishis who lived lives apart and hidden from the common masses. However, corruption of this higher knowledge by a few self-serving individuals led to the development of the corrupt workers of darkness, or Illuminati, as some people call them, who infiltrated all the places of power, religious, political, wherever they could insert themselves and direct the overall power of the group to serve them in some way. And this was what produced the despotic and dogmatic religious tyrants and the cruel mercenary dictators. Yeah, that was that inner larceny, that inner greed and demand for power of the ego. So this evil trend started way back in antediluvian times, but the effects have made karmic inroads throughout history, right down into today's world. In fact, really, if you want to look at what it is, we were those souls that did those evil deeds way back then, or in some way participated in that environment to produce what we have in our world today and in our personal lives today. So again, the buck has to stop with this incarnation. We are today dealing with the effects of choices made back in Lemuria, by TT, Atlantis, and all of those other little offshoots of the Lemurian and Atlantean cultures. So we are the generation of souls that is being called to simply say no more. We are the ones that will dare to be embodiments of a new way of living. And we shall birth a new era and a more humane and just world. We have that covenant upon our soul's contract that we will do that. That's why so many of us are doing everything in our power to shift our own inner consciousness to a higher level and to live from that consistently. You know, and that's a spiritual warrior, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Most of the world that's unconscious and wants to stay that way is doing exactly the polar opposite. So as the old paradigm was all about outsourcing and deferring personal responsibility and power to outer authorities and outer forms and according blame apart from the personal self, so the new paradigm is all about tapping the inner technology of spirit and the power of the heart's coherency and intention and conscious awareness, tapping those so-called invisible, unseen inner powers which form the basis of the technology of light, which we are told by the Master Jwal Kool will completely fund our planet with new ways of dealing with disease, new ways of tapping into free energy sources, new ways of creating habitations that leave no destructive footprint on any of the Earth's ecosystems, and technology that will actually eventually eradicate every form of disease, aging, and death itself. That is what the new technology of living love and light is going to give us if we just will be willing to allow that old, obsolete, unworkable world to drop away, slither away, dry up and be blown away, however stop participating in it and giving it energy. And the very abstraction of your attention and energy will begin its demise. So the new paradigm involves cooperation rather than competition, and sharing rather than acquiring for personal self. And this is where we find ways to work together so everyone benefits. It's a win-win situation. No one loses or needs to lose in the new paradigm. No one is expendable. Everyone is equally valued, respected, cherished, cared for, honored, and listened to, and embraced. So as personal advancement and acquisition dominated the old paradigm, so serving the highest good of all is the intention of the new paradigm, with compassion, goodwill, and sharing, sounding the major keynotes. I think the biggest revelation of the new paradigm is destined to make evident is that we are all interconnected, and that everything we say, think, do, or even think affects the entire collective. We'll find out that we never are healed alone. We are never advancing and improving that doesn't have an advancing improvement reflecting throughout the collective. We will realize that when we step free, we free the collective just that much more. So life and consciousness exist within a unified field that we are going to be validating spiritually, scientifically, in quantum mechanics, which we already are, and in every other way that it can be validated, until that becomes the predominant worldview, where everything is shared and nothing is seen or held separate or hidden or kept from anyone. Do you remember that song, that group sing-along that Michael Jackson and many celebrities joined and made a video of so many years ago? I think the lyrics went something like this. We are the world. We are the people. We are the ones to make a better world. So let's start giving. There's a choice to be made here. We're saving our own lives. We can make a better world if we'll just try. Something like that. But that was sounding a musical message, keynote, frequency, resonance into the collective consciousness. That was sounding a keynote, which is what great musicians and messengers of light like Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and others, that's actually their mission as artists, as singers, as troubadours of the new energies, which also are always preceded by a new musical motif, a new frequency. The new composers always bring in the vibration and music and sound that represents that harmonic chord for that new epoch, whatever it is. So again, how many of us have been able to import the message of that song from the airy realms of intellectual idealism into the integration of our personal life protocols? Have we been able to make that transition from the idealism to daily protocol? The last seminar, we spoke about the power of intention being the very power of God and the determiner of any given outcome. Well, the will to good is the most divine and powerful intention that we can generate for the new paradigm. The will to good, which then manifests as goodwill. So the will to good is God's intention to be activated by our individual choice. Question is, are we willing to live from an intention of goodwill toward everyone, without malice to anyone? Are we willing to live from an intention of goodwill toward everyone, without malice to anyone? What that might translate as, are you willing to monitor your mouth, mind, and manners so that you are making a daily contribution to this new paradigm? I ask you again, are you willing to monitor your mouth, mind, and manners so that you are making a daily contribution to this new paradigm? Maybe you'll need to notice now what before you were not fully conscious of, those little inner attitudes of criticism and condemnation and judgment. Yes, attitudes count. Even those little inner dialogues you allow to run where another person is regarded negatively, or yourself or your life. That's energy, that's creation, that's intention going forth. That is manifesting as problems in your life, as the blocks to your awareness. You can't see beyond your judgment. Your judgment is what is causing the blockage to your awareness that you are the light of the world. So this is going to be quite an exercise of mindfulness, of self-awareness, to watch your attitudes, your thoughts, your chatting, your heart coherency, your emails, your blogs, your conversation, your tweets, your Facebook status updates. Are you living in harmony with your heart? If you are, you will be contributing to world harmony and participating in building, manifesting, and anchoring the new paradigm, technology of living love. I'm reminded here of the great philosopher and initiate, Jiddu Krishnamurti, who wrote a book entitled, You Are the World. And that might provide some good soul food for some of you who still believe that there is a difference between your inner state of consciousness and your outer world, or the outer world at large. And here is the spiritual practice, should you choose to proceed onward with this new paradigm. This is it. Ready? Lend no energy of attention or support to what you do not want to see continue manifesting in the world. Lend no energy of attention or support to what you do not want to see continue manifesting in the world. Now here is where it's so important to set your intention upon awakening first thing in the morning. As the morning goes, so will the rest of the day follow. So make sure that you have engaged your heart and aligned with your soul's intention and purpose before you get out of bed and start your day. Set your intention upon awakening to embodying your ideal that day. Get into character like an actor. Put on that enlightened persona, that masterful self, and stay true to your character all day. And you know, you can have fun with this too. The new paradigm is not dour and serious like the old one. It is light, and lighter in every way. It is light-hearted, it is light-footed, it is light-directed, it is light-led, it is light-infused. It is the soul, unfettered and set free, to walk in the light of its own beingness, and to share its radiance like the sun upon everyone. You know, the new paradigm is about seeing the one beloved in everything you see, about seeing the face of Christ in everyone. So what do you do with your mornings? How do you prepare to enter the arena of your day? Be aware that what you do in your mind in the morning will inevitably come out in your actions during the day. It's inevitable. You know, we're in the time and the cycle when everything hidden is being revealed. So, those of you who have just been to London for the Olympics, and I was certainly in spirit, if not physically, but I lived in London for most of the year of 2000. And one of the things you notice there is when you get on one of the underground trains, forget what you call them, forgive me for that, the underground train transit system, you will hear this woman saying, "Mind the gap." Mind the gap. And the gap she's referring to that we are to mind is quite a bit of space between the platform that you're boarding the train from or disembarking from the train. There's a gap. And if you would not mind the gap, you would step and catch your leg and really seriously do damage to yourself if you fell or stepped into that gap between the train and the platform. So just as carefully, we need to mind the gap between our mind and our heart, between the thinking and our awareness, between our judgment and our compassion and forgiveness. And we need to connect our mind and our heart firmly and thoroughly in soul awareness before we do anything. Before we do anything. Of Course in Miracles does a beautiful exercise. I will be still an instant and go home. And you must take that silent instant to take a deep breath and connect with your radiant heart, with your illumined Christ mind, and allow the Holy Spirit to direct your actions. Allow the Holy Spirit, by your own request, to take charge and command of your day, of your choices, your decisions, your actions. Your moment-to-moment interchanges. In fact, the way I pray is this in the morning after. And, you know, you always do your prayers, your meditation, your spiritual exercises. Every day, you prioritize that. That's the most important thing you can do in your life, is to align yourself with your soul's purpose each day. And I ask that the Holy Spirit take charge and command of every single atom of my life and my expression. And then I name the arenas that I'm going to be moving into. That everything comes under the governance of the Holy Spirit. But then I can't go to sleep. I have to keep in mind exactly what I'm sharing with you here. So you always have to stay on top of your life. Not let the ego get any kind of momentum going in your day, especially in the morning. If you start the day in the wrong way, and the ego gets the bit in its mouth, it's going to run like a maniacal, out-of-control, crazy elephant, or crazy horse in this metaphor, if you don't immediately put the bridle on your mouth, your mind, your manners, and manage yourself in the light of your soul, of your higher awareness, of your living love. So mind the gap. Mind the gap. And bring yourself forward into integrated awareness with your highest consciousness that you possibly can integrate. So we come out of spirit as extensions of pure love. Then we develop a separate persona, an ego self, that is based on the premise of difference and division and separation. And through that, we are carefully taught to fear, and particularly to fear difference, and to offer defense in the protection of our differences. That's the ego thought system. So now we must unlearn the ways of fear and return our awareness to our original love and innocence and our eternal oneness with divine source. In highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. We have never been in a body, isolated and separate from other people and things, or God, upon this crazy wackadoo world. We've never been here at all. It is a holodeck, a magician's conjuration born out of the sense of separation from God and good, that we have chosen in a moment of insanity, but which was corrected the instant it arose in our mind. But we're experiencing the effects of that choice, which is what is being worked out now in what we call a return to God, or a return home, or an enlightenment to that which is. It's that happy dream in which we gradually awaken to the light and love that we've always been, and where we've always been within that greater light and love that we call God, or collective good. So that's the paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is also an illusion. It's also part of the happy dream of return. But it's very necessary for the mind to be gradually reconditioned and reintroduced to higher vibration, higher awareness, higher velocity energy. That's part of that return. Because just as we willfully densified in our understanding and perception, we also need to willingly lighten and return in the enlightening process. So, wherever you find yourself in that paradigm, there's work to be done. There's work to really question false evidence appearing real, which is fear. It's important to reinterpret fear as power, which love can release and use like the Aikido master, where you take that energy that has been focused into maintaining a false appearance that's appearing real, and you interpret that as your helper to return to the loving. How do you do that? Well, you simply see it for what it is. And you realize, oh, that's a stepping stone to God. So then even your enemies are reinterpreted in terms of your best friends who have simply come forward to embody your dark side, to embody your difference, to embody your fear, to embody the things that you have resisted loving in your own self. So ultimately, everything is good. Everything is helping you to return to who you always have been, but have forgotten and lost sight of. So that is the shift we are being asked to make now. Ego mind, which judges and criticizes, to heart mind. And heart mind is the Christ mind. The return of the Christ to us individually comes in the renewing of our minds, in the revelation that the Christ is here now, that the Christ is the choice to be the living love, because the Christ mind is the living love, wedded and joined with the heart, the human heart. So that then your whole life is one of self-bestowal. You just walk through a grocery store and people receive the spiritual promise that they too in this very lifetime can awaken to the love that they are and awaken in the heart of all that is. And all you did was walk into 7-Eleven to buy a gallon of milk. And people are initiated into higher levels of awareness. The next time you go out to eat, bear in mind, you are the ancient hierophants, the ancient initiators, the ancient priests and priestesses, moving about in the world, initiating people into higher states of awareness. That's what you're doing. Open your eyes and recognize many of the people that come before you are your friends, your brothers and sisters that have been in the same classes in the ancient mystery schools, that were with you in the ancient times, and that are with you today as your brother and sister initiates and ministers and fellow bearers of light. No one is here by accident. No one is here that didn't earn the right to be here. No one is here that is not the beloved. No one is here that is not an incarnation of the living love. No one is here that will not ultimately awaken to that, for not one soul will be lost. Because in highest truth, not one soul has ever been lost. And therefore, we will all awaken ultimately to laugh delight, finding ourselves within the unified heart's radiance of the cosmic Christ and the imperishable God realm. And from thence we go forth in that which is the next level of development for the human being, which is to move forth as a collective Christ race, into the greater omniverses yet to be birthed from our radiance. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I Heal. Deep breath. On I May all the worlds be happy. May all the beings in all the worlds have peace. May we be the peace and the joy and the happiness and the Christ presence in our own life and represented in the greater outer world that we dream we see. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Adonai.